we call the seed, such that it contains only those pixels that belong to the same object or the image feature, the local feature. And for that, we use the difference between the 8 connected neighbors of the current pixel GPQ and GMN. We started with MN, and then there are a number of pixels that are conduit, and there is a reuse the connected pixel, and call that DP. Pixels GPQ that have this distance less than T, where T is some threshold, here I said modified, it could be adaptive, are included in the region. And then you repeat the process. For those pixels you included, you go and further ask the same question and check their neighbors. So it will keep growing. So the procedure continues by checking the neighbors of the newly connected, newly included pixels in the same manner. And then includes those that meet the condition and rejects those that don't meet the condition and keep growing until a certain stopping condition is met. It could be that you are hitting some boundary, some local borders or edges, or you are hitting the end of the image, or you could also put a count on the number of pixels included and say, if I have 100 pixels, we'll stop. I don't need more than 100 to estimate the local statistics. Or if you want 150 or 50 or some number. An important point to note is an adaptive neighborhood compute is computed for each and every pixel in the image. So this is time consuming. But it could be done in parallel. If you have a parallel machine for each pixel, you could have a different processor running this. Now, in addition to the region that you grow in this manner, which we call the foreground region, an adaptive background region is also grown. So suppose I have a region that goes like this, and around that you cut a ribbon by dilating boundary and call that ribbon of the same shape but surrounding this object or this region as its background. So it's a local background. Background is obtained by expanding or dilating the outermost boundary of the foreground object. Now, the foreground object region that you have grown could have holes inside. There could be pixels inside that are not included. There is another notion called the redundant seed pixels. These are pixels within the foreground region that have the same gray level as that of the seed from where we started. And if you were to use a simple threshold for region growing that is fixed, and if you repeat the region growing process for these pixels, you will get the same result. Depends on the condition you use. If you use a simple condition that is just grayscale deviation, it depends upon only the gray level of the starting point. So from one pixel, suppose you start and grow a region, and there are many other pixels in this region with the same value as the initial seed. If you repeat region growing from any of these pixels, you get the same region again. So the same output that you compute for that seed will be applicable to all of these seed pixels because they all have the same original value. And if you repeat this, you get the same. So when you have a homogeneous region like, let's say, the door there, and it is affected by noise, but when you grow the region and you get that whole region, and there are many pixels with the same value, you would get the same region for all of them, and hence the output will be the same. So you can save computation by not repeating the process for these pixels. But that depends upon your region growing condition. So here is an example. One of my graduate students, William Morrow, he did this example where this is a mountain in the Canadian Rockies, and there's a white patch of snow or ice there. This is the seed pixel from where it started. And the region growing procedure is shown in gray pixels here. The region is increasing, increasing, increasing further. And finally, we get this region. I could zoom this. I'll just go to the last image here. So here is the region. In gray is shown. And outside that region is this darker gray ribbon that is obtained by dilating the outer boundary, and we call that outer ribbon as the background to that region. And in some of the algorithms, we use that. Now, there could be some holes inside. These gray areas inside the region were not included in the pixel, in the region that was grown. Because those values are much different from the seed from where we started. Now these black pixels that you see, the dark black pixels, they are what we call the redundant seed pixels. Their values are equal to the original seed from where we started. And the original seed was that one. So these black pixels are all equal to that same original pixel from where we started. So all of these black pixels will get the same output value, and we don't have to repeat the process for them with the simple threshold-based region growing. So to process that pixel and these redundant seed pixels, we use this region, which is of, as you see, adaptive size and shape, and we compute statistics, apply a filter, and the output is applied only to the seed pixel, not to the others. And to the other pixels in the same region, you'll be doing the whole process all over again. You may get overlapping regions for such pixels. Many of these pixels will grow regions that will be similar to this or overlapping with this, which is all right. Even a 3x3 window, when you move, will overlap from pixel to pixel. Or a 5x5 window will overlap. So that's not a problem. So this is what we mean by adaptive neighborhood processing. Just a minute, let me... Three by three mean, median, and okay. So here we have one of the test images, and here we have the noisy version with the Gaussian noise added. This is the result of 3x3 mean and 3x3 median. Here on the left we have 3x3 mean, and this is on the right 3x3 median. And we have seen the problems with mean and median. The mean will blur the edges, the median will clip some corners and cause distortion. The last row, we have the mean and median filters, but using the adaptive neighborhood. And using the adaptive neighborhood, I'll have to zoom this now to show you the details. So here we have the result of adaptive neighborhood mean, and on this side the median. And the main advantage is, of course, we're not blurring the edges. There's still some noise left here around the edges, because around such edges we cannot grow the region to be large. So we have this problem remaining in the initial application of the adaptive neighborhood mean and median filters. But in background areas, you can see that the filter has been filtered out effectively. Now, one of my postdoc fellows suggested that this could be done iteratively. We could repeat this, of course, and then we can reduce the noise even further.
So what does it mean, iteratively? The same process again for the already processed image?
Yes, that's correct. So
exactly the same, like starting from zero.
Right from the beginning, yeah. Mm-hmm. The regions grown could be different. The noise parameter would have to be adjusted. The threshold could be modified because we don't have as much noise anymore. Like the noise updated repeated Wiener filtering, the noise variance needs to be modified, which means the threshold for region growing needs to be reduced. Otherwise, you will grow very large regions. Let me just make sure here. This is the mean and median and not iterative. Okay. Let me go back. I believe I had this filter for the other test image too. Now this is the next filter. Okay, let's look at another filter, and then I'll come back to this example. Now, what I showed just now is simply application of the mean and median using adaptive neighborhoods. So we can get a large number of pixels to compute the statistics. That's the basic idea. And these pixels are constrained to remain within certain regions or objects that exist at that position in the image. Now, there is another filter that Dr. Raman Paranjpe, who was my postdoctoral fellow many years ago, developed that we call adaptive neighborhood noise subtraction. So instead of estimating the signal, we said we could also estimate the noise and subtract it. The approach is similar to what we have seen before, but with a slight difference in the formulation. The idea is the same as what we saw in the adaptive rectangular window LMS technique, except that we are not constraining the window to be rectangular. So we remove the R in the adaptive rectangular window. It's not rectangular. So the image process is assumed to be zero mean process of variance sig square F that is observed in the presence of additive noise that also has zero mean, resulting in the image G that is assumed to be zero mean, but we can subtract the mean out. The noise process eta is assumed to have zero mean and variance sigma square eta and assumed to be uncorrelated. These are all standard assumptions or common assumptions made. An estimate of the noise at that pixel is obtained by this factor. Eta tilde mn is alpha times gmn. We could very well have put it as estimating the signal, but we did it this way, so there is a subtraction that comes out. Where alpha is a scale factor, and that depends upon the characteristics of the region being grown. The estimate is F tilde equal to G minus eta tilde. And that reduces to beta GMN, so beta is 1 minus alpha. So whether you estimate beta for this or alpha for that, it's effectively the same. So as in the adaptive rectangle window LMS algorithm, if the images used are non-zero mean, then we just subtract the mean first and we get this result, where the output is the local mean in the given image plus a certain factor, 1 minus alpha times G minus its mean for that position. So this is the same as what we have seen before, except now these statistics are computed using adaptive windows or adaptive neighborhoods. We didn't want to call this as window because a window implies a certain shape. So we said adaptive neighborhood. So the procedure is to find this factor alpha, which is based upon the criterion that the estimated noise variance be equal to the original noise variance. So we are assuming we know the original noise variance, which we could estimate from a blank area in the image where you only have noise, or you use some other experiment to estimate the noise variance. So sigma square eta is that, which is estimated locally using this formula, alpha gmn minus mu g square, and that turns out to be alpha square sigma square g, which is the variance of the given image, and sigma square g is sigma square f plus sigma square eta. Variance of the original image plus variance of noise, and this alpha square comes in. And then the factor alpha turns out to be sigma square eta over sigma square f plus sigma square eta. So this is all similar to what we have seen before. It's a noise to signal ratio or signal to noise ratio or ratio of two variances of some kind. Then f tilde becomes mu g, the local mean, plus this factor 1 minus alpha times g minus mu g. So this is similar to the leaf filter and the first we have seen. There is a flow chart that you could go through in the book. Essentially, you grow the region and then derive the statistics and apply the filter. So I'll skip that flow chart. I have already explained what is being done here. So here is an example that Mihai Chuk prepared for me, which is interesting. This is a small part of an image. This is a 25 by 25 pixel window out of the peppers image, which I showed yesterday. We went through quickly some examples. And there are more examples that will come up later. And this is the noisy version of that same window, or the same window from the noisy version of the image. And we are considering that pixel for processing in this example. So this is the seed pixel shown on the original image. just to show that that is the starting point. And the region that is being grown is shown on the original image superimposed. So with the, in this case it is corrupted by Poisson noise, and the region that is grown initially is this, where you have the white and the gray pixels. And the method that Mihachuk developed, which is a modification of what we have seen so far, I'll explain that in a moment, says initially when you do the region growing, there could be these holes in the region. These gray pixels are not included in the region being grown because in the noisy image, they are significantly different from the seed. And the amount of noise is significant, as you can see. So these gray pixels did not pass the inclusion test in the first pass of the algorithm. Now the question is, should we include those or not in filtering the out, in getting the filtered output for that pixel? In actuality, these pixels belong to the same object because they are spatially connected and they are within that object. But it is just so that it happened so that these pixels got more noise than the other pixels here that passed the test. So we said we should include all of these pixels, except those at the boundary that we could ignore of this region that's been grown. So these pixels are all included now in the modified neighborhood, because those are also pixels belonging to the same object but affected by noise. By excluding those pixels, we may get a biased estimate of the statistics. The mean of the noise may not tend to zero if we do not include those pixels in taking the mean. So there is a second stage in some of our algorithms where the neighborhood is modified further to include those pixels within the region, not connected to the outer border of the region, that were initially rejected. And then that population is used in deriving the output, whether it be the mean or median or something. And here, in the last frame, is shown the result of filtering this noisy image for that same window, where you see that the edge of the image is maintained, edge of that object is maintained without much distortion. The noise inside the region has been filtered effectively. The noise outside this region has also been filtered effectively. And the adaptive neighborhood used here has been limited to only 100 pixels. So we're not growing the region to include the whole object, of course. This object is much bigger in the original image. We said 100 pixels should be enough to estimate the mean and standard deviation. So we put a limit. If you want it to be 200, you could put it as 200. It doesn't matter. Then you would get a slightly bigger region here. The important point is it is not crossing this boundary of the real object present. And these pixels are within the object. Similarly, for a pixel in the background, you would grow a region that would stop at the boundary of that object. So the filtered image has this result where the edge is preserved and the noise inside and outside has been effectively filtered or reduced. So some examples here. This is the clock image from my lab. There's no noise added. This is, the noise is the real noise that is present. And this is, B is 3x3 mean, C is 3x3 median. This is the refined LLMMSE filter from Lee. And E is the adaptive, I'm sorry, this is the noise updated repeated Wiener filter, and F is our adaptive neighborhood LLMMSE filter. The same LLMMSE filter as Lee is now applied in this image using the adaptive neighborhood I described just now with the modification to the neighborhood to include the second stage of pixels. So we could compare these and then look for features of blurring of edges of objects and any noise remaining around edges, and you'll see that each filter has certain advantages and disadvantages. I have a whole series of images showing these showing the results with the same filters. And I'm also giving in the caption the mean squared error of the result with respect to the original in the test images. For the clock image, we don't have that because I don't know what the original is. The original is the same. In the other examples, in the caption, you see the mean squared error, which is not the best way to compare images. It is one way. The mean squared error could be large in some cases, but still the image could be good if the edges are preserved. So depending upon your criteria, whether you want edge preservation or noise suppression or what kind of a trade-off you can tolerate between the two, mean squared error may or may not give you the best indication. But it is commonly used, so we have listed those values in the captions, and also there is a table somewhere in the book. Later we will see that, where we compare the mean squared error values for different filters. So here we have the original image, noise added, Gaussian noise in this case, and C is the 3x3 LLMMSE filter. D is the noise updated repeated Wiener filter. By iterating, you get some advantage to some extent. E is adaptive neighborhood mean, and F is adaptive neighborhood LLMMSE. So let me zoom this and we will take a look quickly. So at the top we have the original and noisy, and then we have the 3x3 Lee filter and the noise updated repeated Wiener filter, which is not bad. The 3x3 filter has some artifacts and some noise remaining here and at edges. The adaptive neighborhood filter removes the noise a little better, but there is some corner artifact here because of one of the options we gave. In this right-hand side F image, you don't have that artifact. Again, there are some parts where you may see some noise left behind because the neighborhood could not grow to large size in these areas. The main advantage is there is no blurring of edges. The mean squared error is lowest for this image F. There are several images for different types of noise. I won't go through all of them. You could look at them in the book later if you wish. This is the Pepper's test image that's been commonly used by many authors in image processing. And you have different results here. Some of the critics or reviewers of our papers said this method works only for synthetic images and not for real images. So then we started putting some real life images such as these, and the clock image is a real image, but it has geometric objects. So some reviewers said, what about objects with real edges that are not geometric shape and so on? So there is this example, and there is also the popular Lena example. I did not use that Lena image in too often in this book, but that's also a popular image that is partly natural image because there are some other elements in the hat and so on. But here are some natural objects. And this table, you don't have to read this, but that is given in the book. And then you have examples with uniformly distributed noise and Poisson noise and then film grain noise and speckle noise, and we don't have to see all of them. Salt and pepper noise is always interesting because some filters will create artifacts, such as the mean filter is inappropriate. C is the 3x3 mean. So if it is salt and pepper noise, don't use mean filter, obviously, because it blurs and creates blotchy artifact image. The median filter will create artifacts in the shape of the objects, and by using the adaptive neighborhood mean or median, we get slightly better results. or I should say significantly better results in this case. Salt and pepper noise with a real life image. So those are some examples of application of the adaptive filters. So we saw a few different types of adaptive filters where the filter size, filter shape in terms of neighborhood or the region used, and also the filter coefficients modified. And the local statistics-based filters are adaptive to local statistics by bringing those local characteristics into the formula of the filter. They don't change the weights, but the statistics are used so that the nature of the filter changes from pixel to pixel. So in these different styles or manners, we can adapt filters to local variations or details present in images. So let's show you a couple of applications and then we'll take a break. We'll close this chapter and frame out. Okay. That's the end of chapter 3. It's 3:40, so let's take a break and please come back at 3.